Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Abuse takes many forms, all of which are destructive in a family. Abuse is nothing new. King Saul of Israel is a textbook case of an abuser, a man consumed with jealousy. Today, a portrait of a man you don't want to emulate. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer now continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen as Dr. Lutzer speaks again on the hurt and healing of abuse.
Saul was anointed by God, chapter 10, verse 1 of Samuel. Samuel anointed him and says, "The Lord is anointing you to be king. Wouldn't you like to be anointed as king?" Wow. Saul, furthermore, had the gift of prophecy. "The Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you," said Samuel, "and you will prophesy, and you'll be turned into another man." And then Saul begins to prophesy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the people even ask, this is all in 1 Samuel chapter 10, the people even ask, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And the answer is yes. Listen to him prophesy. He appeared to be humble. Later on in the chapter, they are having a coronation. Samuel gathers the whole crowd to a place called Mizpah, and he said, "We're going to crown our king." And lo and behold, Saul is chosen to be the one crowned, and they can't find him. The Bible says he was hiding behind the baggage. That appears to be humility. And then when he was brought before the people, the Bible says he was taller than anyone else, and he was impressive in appearance. And you know that tall people do have a great advantage over the rest of us. They are impressive oftentimes in appearance. Saul had all that. And then you go to chapter 11. You can find it there. And what do you discover about Saul? He won a great victory for Israel. How would you like to have a king like that, anointed, gifted by God? But there was another part to King Saul. There was some darkness in his life. And we discover this as we look at the scripture now in 1 Samuel chapter 18. I know I'm hurrying today, but keep in mind that all this is in the text and you can find it yourself. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 18, I'm picking it up at verse 6, "And as they were coming home when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with trombones and songs of joy and musical instruments, and the women sang to one another as they celebrated, 'Saul has struck down his thousands, David his tens of thousands.'" Oh, brother. Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. He said, "They've ascribed to me thousands." He liked that part of the song, but to David, tens of thousands. And so this man, anointed by God, called of God, gifted by God, tries to kill David. The very next verse says, "The spirit from God," a harmful spirit rather, "from God rushed upon Saul. He raved within his house while David was playing the harp, as he did day by day. And Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, 'I'll pin David to the wall.' But David evaded him twice." And so there you have it, the two sides of human nature. Gifted, anointed, the kind of man that any woman would want to marry, an abuser. Even here we learn a couple of things about abuse that might be helpful. How did David handle it? First of all, he decided to run. He didn't say to himself, "Well, I'm going to stay here and be a martyr." No, when the spear came at it, he dodged it and then he left. And when you get to an abuser, oftentimes, almost every time, the best thing to do is to leave, put physical distance between you and your abuser, because remember, we're not dealing with people here who are rational. How would you like to be able to reason with King Saul, this great man who was obsessed with jealousy, demonic jealousy? You can't reason with people like that. I have a friend who says that you should never wrestle with a pig. First of all, the pig is going to enjoy it. Number two, you will get dirty. And number three, the pig might win because he plays by a different set of rules. Saul played by a different set of rules. He put out all of the witches from the land, but when he was in desperation, he went to the one witch that still was in existence. In other words, what applies to you does not apply to me. You can't reason with people like that. And so what David did is run. By the way, did any benefit come out of that? David being pursued by Saul for 10 long years? The answer is yes. There's a book written entitled The Tale of Three Kings that explains that God used this time to take the Saul out of David's heart, because David had the potential of being another Saul. And so God worked in David's life, and as a result, we have some psalms that we'd have never had if David had not been running from Saul. For example, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Many shall hear it in fear. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and heard me, and delivered me out of all of my troubles. We'd have never had those psalms. There are at least a half dozen of them written by David as he was fleeing from Saul. God wanted to do something good out of something very evil. Well, the question is, how do we begin the healing process as I speak to you? And as I speak to you today, if you want to begin to cry, and some of you may do that, I want you to know that you're welcome to do that, and the people next to you will understand, and if they don't, it's their problem and not yours. All right, remember that. Some of you may be tempted to leave. I've had that happen when I've spoken on this before, and I prefer you not do that, but if you feel that you have to, why then indeed do so. I think it would be very appropriate before we get into the steps toward healing if we were to bow our heads and pray one more time, that this might be a moment of deliverance for many people who've never faced these issues in their lives before. Would you join me as we pray? Father, as I've sought your face regarding this message, I pray today that it may go directly to the heart. We're counting on your promise that you heal the brokenhearted. Do that today, Father. And we ask that even though there may be pain, we thank you that the purpose of pain is for healing. Bring that about for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number one, what you need to do is to face reality. We need to face reality. You know, abusers live in denial, and so do the abused. I told you that this message was for both, so first of all, I want to say a word to the abusers. If there's anything about people who abuse others, it is this. They are keenly aware of the hurts that are done to them. In fact, those hurts are revisited over and over and over again. But they are insensitive to the hurt that they are doing to others. In fact, if they were abused, perhaps in their mind saying, because it happened to me, I have every right to do it to you. And they're destroying their children and they're destroying their wives and families and really, down deep, don't care. Verbally sometimes. I'm thinking of a father, and the little child said this to one of our daughters. I wish I were a dog, the child said, because my dad loves dogs. He's left the family, but if I were a dog, he would love me. Listen, I'm speaking to you very directly right now because I want you to be in heaven, but I want you to face reality, all right? This is what Jesus said. He said that if any of you cause one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would have been better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. I plead with you today. Do you understand what you are doing to your wife because of your verbal put-downs and what you are doing to your children because you slap them and you speak disparagingly of them and you criticize them without lifting them up, honoring them, praying for them, encouraging them? Do you understand that? You must face reality. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I'm interested in human nature, and I know something about it living with myself. I'll tell you this, though. I have long ago learned that there are things about us that we will never admit to unless God shows them to us. Would you, in this moment of honesty, see what you need to admit to? God will show you what it is that you need to admit to. And of course, you also, as someone who is abused, you must face reality. You must recognize that indeed abuse has happened. And there may be some of you listening here who have never been able to say that about your parents, about your environment. 80% of all abuse, by the way, takes place either within the home or among relatives of the home. And you've never been able to admit to it. And so as a result, this festers within you. And I'm saying to you today, what you need to do is to look at reality and mourn the loss, yes, but face it and don't pretend that it didn't happen. Because believe me, it may have. And if you're listening as a child, would you go for help? Would you speak to a teacher, to a Sunday school worker, to someone? Because we have to face this and not pretend that it's not here. My friend, today I sure hope that you continue to listen to Running to Win and to hear the conclusion of this message that I preached here at the Moody Church. I've discovered that our families are hurting so badly. As a matter of fact, what I'd like to do right now is to pray. I want to pray for you. Because even as this message was preached, there was a great response on the part of people who had been abused, maybe also on the part of abusers. But we need God's help. Would you join me in prayer right now for our families? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for all who have listened to this message and are listening to the ministry of Running to Win. We pray, Lord, that their families may be strong. We ask, O Lord, that where there is abuse and evil, it might be exposed and dealt with. I pray for the child who is struggling because of abuse and harshness within the family. I pray for the parents and their great need. We come to you today, Lord, requesting your intervention in the lives of all who are struggling. Show us grace, Lord, where there seems to be no mercy. Show us love in the midst of a loveless marriage, and bring your people together for the cause of your great name. And we shall give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Dr. Lutzer. Today we heard more of the hurt and healing of abuse, the eighth message in a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, we'll hear about more steps in how to come clean as an abuser. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Fighting for Your Family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.